Well, tonight we're going to be sharing the communion, and this is done for remembrance, to help us remember the significance of Jesus Christ's broken body and his shed blood. And his broken body is significant in that he did it for our physical healing. And of course, his shed blood is the price that was paid. His life was, he gave his blood, his life, so that we could have eternal life with our Heavenly Father. So we want to remember, as we do eat and drink, we can remember these great truths and realities that God has done for us through his Son. You know, we have so much in the new birth, don't we? I mean, when you think about the new birth and all we are in Christ, I mean, it's so awesome, so phenomenal that we are children of God. We have his righteousness. We are redeemed. We're sanctified. We're set apart special for God. We have the hope of Christ's return. We have so, so much. And what a privilege it is. What a privilege it really is to have these realities within us. And it took a price. You know, the value of something is really seen in the price paid. On board the ship on our cruise, one of the things they have on there is this jewelry store. And they sell watches and jewelry. And oh my gosh, you start looking at the price tag and woo, how expensive some of these shiny stones can be. Well, you know the value of those stones because of the price tag on them, right? Well, we recognize the value of our new birth realities because of the special price paid. And that was the innocent blood, the perfect blood of Jesus Christ and his perfect body being broken for us. So we are just in awe at God's love to do this for us. Let's look at some scriptures in God's word along these lines. So let's first go to 1 Peter, if you would, in your Bibles. 1 Peter 1:18. So here we have in verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. So the price that was paid for our salvation, our redemption, it wasn't with corruptible things. Now, here are two corruptible things that I don't know if I would call them corruptible. Silver and gold. Now, wouldn't you like to have a lot of gold and silver? Yeah, I mean, gold, I don't know what it's valued now. It's over $3,000 an ounce. A little ounce of gold is $3,000 plus. Silver is, I don't know, 30 or 40 bucks or something an ounce. But those are just corruptible things compared to the redemption of our Lord and Savior, what he did. So the verse goes on to say, from your vain, empty conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, we remember the Passover lamb I shared on this last Sunday, and that lamb had to be perfect. It had to be the very best in condition, in shape. And I don't know if you have looked at the recent Chosen movie about Jesus Christ and this, the episodes in this, was it season 5?
Yeah.
Season 5, they show him turning the tables over outside the temple in Jerusalem. They would sell animals and things to be sacrificed, and he was very upset that the quality was so horrible. You know, they would take the worst animals to sacrifice when it should be the very best. And of course, Jesus Christ was perfect. His blood was perfect, he was perfect, and he was our redeeming Passover lamb. So let's take a look at, verse 20. For verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You know, God ordained that there would be a redemption for mankind sometime in the future. And it happened when Jesus Christ came on the scene. Then verse 21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, in order that your faith and hope might be in who? In God. Yeah. See, we have a perfect Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So our hope can be in God because his Son was so wonderful, so perfect. It's a great reality. Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And in here we see a similar reality. Colossians 1:12. Here it says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet, or this is King James, perhaps better translated for our understanding, made us adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, we thank God for this. We thank the Heavenly Father that he has made us adequate to be partakers of this inheritance, who, verse 13, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is what God has done. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. That power of darkness has no more right in our life. And if that darkness in any form or fashion comes upon us, we have the right to say, no, stop, not me. I've been redeemed. I've been delivered. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We're in his kingdom. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption, where the payment has been made. The price has been paid through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So that perfect price of his blood, nothing more expensive, more valuable than the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God. And that's what was used to pay down our redemption. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, we see some more of the great truths of God's word here. Hebrews 9:11. It says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, not animals anymore. That kind of covered it temporarily, but something much greater. And that was the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it was by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. If it's eternal redemption, do we need to pay down any more money? Is there more cost to it? No, it's done. It's paid for. It's eternal redemption. He's paid the price. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, like they would do in the Old Testament, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve who?
The living God.
We get to serve the living God. Mm-hmm. What a privilege. We have been made pure before God that we can serve him. That's a privilege. That's an opportunity to serve God. And God made it available through his Son, paying the ultimate price, whereby we have that privilege and opportunity, that eternal redemption. Unbelievable, but believable, because it's the truth of God's word, isn't it? Fantastic. Verse 15, for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of what?
Eternal inheritance.
It's eternal. Once and for all, it's done. It's over with. It's eternal. And we have that inheritance before God. So, boy, we really want to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. Let's remember the price paid. You know, sometimes we live life and maybe we have a nice new car and we paid a lot for it, and a year goes by and we just take the old car for granted. But then if we think about, man, I paid a lot of money for this thing, I'm going to take care of it, you know. I'm going to make sure it lasts for a long time because I invested a lot of money. But what about remembering what God paid for us with the blood of Jesus Christ? So as we remember that, we should be refreshed in our minds of our wonderful redemption in Christ. Pretty significant. And that's why we have this communion. That's why God put this in place, so that we would be reminded of this. And I know we do special fellowships like we're doing tonight to have this communion fellowship. But boy, every time we would eat and drink, we can remember. We can remember his shed blood and broken body. So, but let's take a look in Corinthians. And to do this, I'm going to share from Jesus Christ, Our Passover by Victor Paul Wirwell here, couple pages, and we're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 the specific scriptures that talk about the communion service, okay? The new covenant does not apply directly to those of us in the church of the body. It was for Israel, and he's referring back here to a point made previously. It was for Israel. However, in a very real and practical sense, we do enjoy the benefits of that covenant and all the accomplishments of Christ, which made the second covenant possible. That is why we observe communion in remembrance of these things. When Israel rejected Jesus as the Messiah, that new covenant he established was withdrawn and is being held in abeyance. But in its place, God made something much greater available to both Israel and the Gentiles, namely the great mystery that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and of the same body, each individual believer having Christ in him. Only a small segment of Israel ever came to the point of accepting this opportunity to appropriate the greatness of the mystery which God brought about. When we, during the age of grace, observe the memorial called Holy Communion, We declare that we remember the many blessings Jesus Christ made available by his death. By revelation, he instituted this memorial before his suffering and death with a loving act by our wonderful Savior. What a loving act by our loving, wonderful Savior. This is my body, quote in Matthew 26:26, could not be literal. We do not literally eat Jesus Christ's body. Centuries of argumentation could have been avoided if people had recognized the very simple figure of speech called a metaphor. A metaphor is stronger than a simile, which simply compares two things by using the words like or as. In a metaphor, the verb is can be replaced by the word represents. Jesus was emphatically saying, this bread represents my body. Likewise, the wine in the cup represented his blood. The Apostle Paul spoke of this memorial in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 30. And here I quote, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Notice that this bread and wine are to be taken in remembrance. That is why it is a memorial rather than a sacrament. Sacrament is a rite with a mysterious meaning. We are to give proper remembrance of Jesus Christ and the accomplishments of his death. He died as Israel's last and true Passover lamb. Because he was the ultimate Passover lamb, there is no need for any more Passover sacrifices or meals because Jesus Christ was the final sacrifice. The Passover meal has been replaced with Holy Communion, which is the memorial of Jesus Christ's death. The cup of wine represents the blood he shed to atone for sins. The bread represents his body. The accomplishments of his bodily sufferings bring us physical deliverance. Not discerning the Lord's body has caused many Christians to become weak, sickly, and even die. They have not claimed the physical health Jesus Christ made available. Whereas Passover memorialized the children of Israel's deliverance from the bondage of Egypt, Holy Communion memorializes the believer's deliverance from the bondage of sin and its consequences. Communion is the only memorial God has given whereby Christians remember the atonement of his Son. And it is a memorial that which, when done properly, brings immediate benefits. Pretty well said, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what I'd like to do now is for us to share communion together with the bread and the cup. I think we have grape juice, so you know. Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
So you folks that are called in on the conference call, I trust you can have something to take.
You want to hand these up, huh?
Yeah, just set it down there. And why don't you go around first, if you would, Shakti, mm-hmm. and to each person so that they can take a piece of the bread, please.
Yeah.
And just wait for a second.
Oh, the door's just open. There's
yeah,
nothing out there.
Yeah, we're just chilling here a little bit.
Yeah. A little hot.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
There we go. So again, you folks on the conference call, you can have something to eat with us to share together in the communion. We're passing around some bread. And, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ brought his disciples together to teach them this and to bring this to their minds so that they could remember the significance of what he was about to do. So when Jesus Christ was teaching them, he took the bread, which is his broken body, which is broken for you. And you do this in remembrance of him. So take, eat. As we eat, we remember his broken body. And the purpose of this is for our physical wholeness. So, boy, anything physical that you need deliverance on, thank him right now. Because this was the price that was paid to make it available for us to have physical wholeness. Jeannie's going to pass around. Along with Shakti there. And this is the grape juice. People use wine or grape juice, something to drink from the cup. Okay. So this cup is the New Testament in Christ's blood to the remission and forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of this. Why don't we just have a quiet time here just to pray to the Father and thanksgiving for what we have through the price that was paid by our Lord and Savior. And I'm going to play a song here in a moment, but let's just have a quiet time. As I play this song, you're welcome to sing along or to stay in prayer, whatever you're blessed to do. But this is the song, He Touched Me. God has touched us in a beautiful way.
Gloria and I wrote this back in 1963, back when your mom and daddy were just courting, right?
Just courting. Yeah, right.
Shackled by
That we could have a time together with the family of believers to specifically bring in remembrance of the significance of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he made available for us through his broken body and shed blood. We sure are thankful that we can have physical deliverance. We have that eternal inheritance, fully and completely redeemed and paid for by the blood of Christ. And so we are grateful and thankful, Father, and with the privilege now that we can live for you fully and completely. And we're thankful for this and for the days ahead that we have to live for you and look forward to his return. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen.